Hey, everybody, welcome back to another lovely episode of the Over Sharon Show. Back again with Sharon and myself, and we have a virtual cornucopia of topics that we're going to talk about today, but they all relate to each other, as does everything in this realm, could it be? Hey, Sharon, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, you know.
Love the hat.
Yeah, allegedly. I gotta say, I'm getting some really good response from this hat, even though it is something that's like Owen Benjamin swag. A lot of people that don't even know who he is that I see are like, allegedly, I love that hat. And I'm like, yeah. So it's
you
good.
You know you love that hat.
It pairs well. I'll just say it pairs well with a smiling face when you walk into a place where there's not so many faces being shown. Absolutely. I'll just say it that way. And I'm like, hi. And they're like, oh, it's a giant man with a smile and hair and an allegedly hat. I guess it's alone. You probably shouldn't talk to that guy if I'm going to try to tell him to do something. Anyway, so what are we talking about today, Sharon?
Well, there's this concept that I think is going on in lots of people's heads right now, at least in the circle of friends that we have. We're starting to look at different ways of looking at our life and how we live this life. And some people are starting to wonder, is life linear? Is it cyclical? You know, some people are wondering, you know, if the creator exists, if God is good, then why is there, you know, why this and why that, those kinds of questions. And so I thought we could talk about those things and just give kind of our current outlook and our current perspective on those things, because even in the last year, I've changed like 180, I would say, but even just in the last month, I would say I have lots of new insight and I've formulated in my mind a kind of a better way of looking at this that makes sense and is also very freeing. And it feels like I can just love people for who they are without judgment. So, but can we start by asking you what your perspective is on good and evil? Because that is one thing that came up when you and I had first met, and I used the word good and evil in front of you, or, well, not in front of you, but over the phone with you. And you said, I don't like to use that terminology so I'd like for you to overshare on that topic a little bit.
Yeah, I think before I do that really quickly, I'll just say that one of the things you said reminded me of something I used to, that whole thing about, you know, if God is real and he loves us, why does he allow bad things to happen? And when I was younger, I was in the whole born again Christian movement scene, right? Church, right? And this is a concept that I picked up pretty early, and I realized that I didn't really have a way to enunciate it when I was younger, but I figured it out and I was like, how can other people not see it? And I kind of saw how this was, I didn't have the terminology to say it then, but now I see this is kind of like a realm or experience or whatever, a challenge, if you will, where God is kind of, you know, he's the creator or whatever you want to say, your words of God, right? And this is how I saw it. He was the creator. And he made you and he made everything. And then it's up to you to decide what you want to do. And then things are just going to happen. It's not like God's up there, like making things happen to people. That's how I kind of saw it. And I was like, well, you can look to him, and people will be like, well, if there's really a God, you know, why does he let bad things happen? And it's like, well, I don't think he lets things happen or makes them happen. It just is what's happening, you know?
Right.
And then to bring it to good and evil, that comes in perfectly, because if you have that mindset, and the easiest way to break it down for me is, well, I'll just say, if you believe in God, you believe God's perfect and you believe God created everything, and then simply you must come to the logical conclusion that everything is perfect and that it's happening for a reason. And I've been enunciating it recently by saying it's like if somebody throws a rock into a still pond and you get some waves, you know, when you see those waves and you, it's kind of like trying to run out there and yell at waves to stop being waves. You just kind of got to let them settle down on their own because the action already took place that put those waves into motion. So you might not have been there when the rock was thrown. You might have shown up 2 seconds later and saw all these waves and been like, what's going on? And you're yelling at all these waves. Well, that's kind of what we're doing when we talk about good and evil and we make judgments on people. And when we say people should do this or do that. And I think that you could use the words good and evil. I'm not saying anyone shouldn't use them, but when you're talking about behavior and actions and what's going on in the world, if you're saying that it's bad behavior, at the end of the day, what you're really doing is saying that you are denying what's going on, you know, why it's going on. And I'm not saying like if you see something terrible going on, you have to agree with it and you don't have to stop it. Yeah, you could stop terrible things from happening that are happening in front of you. What I mean is if you're looking at the whole world and you're like, this is just terrible, everything's so wrong, it's all evil, all these evil people running the world. Well, you know, if it wasn't for an adversary, then there wouldn't be any challenges. Most, you know, a lot of people might, I mean, we'll talk about this later, but I think it is that adversary that is actually our friend in a lot of ways. And that's really what it comes out to when you're talking about just now loving people and everyone around you. It's the same thing. They're not your adversaries. You know, they're in this own little dance and they're having their own struggles too. So they're actually your, they're like your comrades on this whole journey, really.
Funny story before we get started, because it just reminded me of a story when I was probably a toddler, because I remember this. I was either a toddler or I was, you know, maybe under 5 years old. I know I was very young, but I remember growing up in church. And you're talking about the adversary, quote, the devil, quote, Satan. And I remember, you know, your parents telling you like, the devil's bad, he's evil, da, 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 da. But then I also remember them saying, well, you should love your enemies. Right. So one day I was just like, well, if you should love your enemies, and I was like, well, I go, I love the devil. I said, either I love the devil or I love Satan. And they were like, no, you can't possibly do like, no, that's the wrong person to love. But I think I had the right idea. And then there they were telling me no. So it's funny because I recently had that memory returned to me within the last year or two because of all this going on. I remembered that story of when I was a wee child. Wee lass.
Yeah, it's simple logic like that, that if you use it in a child, I mean, a literal five-year-old was able to decode it. And then if you work backwards, well, why is a five-year-old able to see it? It's because a five-year-old doesn't have anything invested in that ideology. Exactly. There's no identity that you had that was wrapped up with it. You didn't have to defend it against anyone. You were just like a literal innocent
love
child
everybody,
going,
this doesn't basically make sense. Right. Yeah. It said, love everybody. But then they're like, except the devil. And I'm like, but why?
That would have been great if there was an adult there like, holy shit, she's on to something.
Like, that makes total sense. Right.
And they would have started worshiping you. You know, you don't want that either. It's just, you know, it's illustrated well in a lot of cartoons. And we'll get back. We'll start right after this. But it's like, if somebody's aperture or whatever their point of view isn't ready to see something, no matter what happens, they're just going to frame it in the context that makes sense in their own reality. So it's like,
right,
they're just going to frame it that way. That's great. So it's the same thing with like we were talking about in previous episodes about woke raping and trying to wake people up, you know?
Yeah.
Can't be done. Anyway, what's the first topic on the list?
Well, so I wanted to talk a little bit about how I have come to view the Creator, because of course I grew up in church and viewing the God of the Bible as this like, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and don't make any graven images, and don't worship anything other than me, that sort of thing.
My God is a jealous God. Remember
and that? My God is a jealous God, and you know, fear God and all these things, right? And then this other concept overlaid on top of that, which is like, well, he's in control. And, you know, so there's this, you know, you have to think, okay, well, if he's in control, and a lot of people do this, if he's in control, then, and I have free will, like, how does that work when he knows all that's going to happen, and knows bad things are going to happen to me, and he doesn't protect me from them, then, you know, how does his loving goodness and knowing all these things, how does that work with my free will? And that's where people can get lost and confused. Because I, you know, I can't say that it made sense to me. So most recently, I have come to see, and I don't say that I don't believe in God at all, but to me, the concept of the creator, I see it more as, yes, there is a creator, because I don't think we made ourselves out of nothing. So there must be some creator, but I don't view that creator as as someone who is like meddling or overseeing or like super micromanaging and involved in things, because he gave us free will, right? So it's either he's doing something or he gave us free will. And I think it's free will, because otherwise we could blame him, right? And then when we get to the blaming, we have victim consciousness. We can say, well, why did God let my child die? Why did God let my husband die? Why did God allow this, allow that? Why does he allow all this evil in the world, right? You can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Really quickly, it's like, yeah. What you're doing when you're doing that is, because I don't want to forget this point, is like, it's hard to see it, because I mean, I've known people that died. So when it happens, it's hard to see it. But at the end of the day, what's really going on is you are looking at yourself as the center of the universe. You're saying, why does the way I want the world to be not it? Why did this person have to die? I wasn't ready for it. And then if you think of some kind of creator, and if you zoom back, it's like, well, there's a larger thing going on here that you're part of, but you're not the center of it. You're the center of your own, but there's a larger plan at work. So that's, it's a lot of ego stuff too. That's something I want to share, but go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what you said earlier about the rippling effect of, you know, it's karma. What you talked about in that pond or that lake is, if you throw a pebble or a rock, the ripples will start forming, right? And basically that's just because the ripples start forming, and like you're here and the rock was thrown here and the ripples affect you. That's just life. You know, someone else's ripple will affect you, but how you respond, how you react is all that really matters. That's how you know if you're going to play the victim or not, because everything, I see everything as happening for a reason. And like you were saying earlier about challenges, if we never have that challenge, then we'll never be able to see the good. We won't ever be able to see how we can overcome a challenge. So it just boils down to don't be the victim.
Yeah. That's huge. And to circle back on what I was saying earlier about good and evil, because I don't want it to get twisted. I think there could be definitely actions that you can consider evil. People are doing evil deeds and bad things. But when it comes to actual like evil people, I just think that it's hard to have that argument. But what I will say is if you're calling somebody evil, then again, you're putting yourself back into victim mode. You know, you're saying that whatever they're doing shouldn't be done. And if you go back to God created everything, well, in karma, and I actually wrote an article about karma and I used the analogy of a pond. It's on my lovely blog at morelawsmoreproblems.com. I wrote it years ago and I just released a new article on there. That's pretty new. Whenever this comes out, you'll see it. Check it out. Go to morelawsmoreproblems.com. But this one was about karma, throwing it in there and like, you don't really know what's going on. So yeah, like you were saying, you have this free will choice. So when these situations present themselves, then it's up to you to decide how you're going to act. Now this, if we continue with this analogy of a wave in the water of like a still pond and the waves are coming, you could, you know, this wave's coming at you. So it's up to you how you want to view it. You can ride the wave like a surfer. You can let it drown you and go down. You know, that's really all up to you. And to call like alchemy and hermetics into this, the Kybalion, and that's a little bit of what I talk about in my latest blog post. It talks about how no one can escape the pendulum swing. The pendulum swing is ever present in our realm, basically what they're saying. So it's kind of like when you're having a good day and then you have a bad day and sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't. If you start to align with that natural flow of whatever this existence is and you realize that's how it goes, there's a way to rise above it. And if you think of the analogy of the pond, you could get in a life raft above it. And it's just about how you're looking at it. Like I said, you could surf those waves. And that's one way you could transmute it. So that's where the alchemy comes in, because you're taking this energy that people are calling negative. Well, it's all just energy and it's up to you what you want to do with it. And then you could ride that wave and you could absorb it. And if you absorb it and you help like suck it in and like transmute it out as comedy or whatever, say you laugh about it, or you make some art or whatever you do, or you however you want to express it in a healthy way. There you go again with these labels. However you want to express it in a way that helps you deal with it in the best way. There we go. So that's a way to absorb it. And that's a way to clean up karma that's out there. And then once you start to do that, you start to align with what they call dharma, which is more about your path. And I always feel like everyone is on their path no matter what. It's just, you know, you're on a path. But when you start to walk it in a more positive way, in a way just aligned with natural law and nature and stuff like that, you are absorbing this. And then you can, you know, people say allegedly you get to a point where you're not even creating karma anymore. You're just on your dharma. And then you're actually helping to erase the karma in the world at some point.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts about when people say, is time linear or cyclical? What are your thoughts on that? Or, I mean, let's just say it's time linear or not. What is it if it's not linear?
I think that the only thing we could perceive as humans with our limited existence and the knowledge that we have is that we perceive it as linear, you know, like all in a sequential order. But I think that somehow it either all happened before or it's all happening at once. And we just can't see it that way. Cause if you zoom out far enough, technically, you know, I guess it all has to be happening at once from certain perspectives. Cause if you're some kind of being that lives outside of time, say you live to be 1,000 or 2,000 or 1,000,000 years old, what's 1,000, you know, if you live to be 1,000,000, what's 1,000 years to you? Now we live to be 100, they say, right? So 1,000 years to us, that's 10 lifetimes. So we can't even imagine. So I think stuff like that, and there's parts of us that realize this and maybe parts of our subconscious or parts we don't have direct contact with. So that's where you get things like you'll get a feeling about something, an intuitional thing, and then you don't do it. And then, or you do it and something bad happens or something like that. So I think that's what that's related to. And, but honestly, we can only deal in the realm we're in, you know? So that's why I think focusing on the present moment is so important, because that's all we know that is really real. You know, the past could be real. I mean, usually it's pretty real, right? But I mean, there's no way to exactly prove it. So,
right.
And then the future obviously is just our projections of what we think might happen or could happen. And it's just all false anyway. So,
yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know how to answer that question myself, just because I don't have all the, I haven't looked into it much about linear versus anything else. But I can see what you're saying about that's how we perceive it. So that makes sense to me. And about the present moment, what you said made me think about something recent that brought back, you know, made me think on certain things that have happened to me, for me, whatever, to challenge me to. This past week, one of my friend's sons passed away, and he was actually murdered. Which, I mean, you know, I've never been a mother, but I can only imagine the heaviness of that feeling. But my friend, she was very, for going through such an event, she was very strong, and she just dealt with it really well. I mean, she seems to be dealing with it really well. And, she was just talking about how her son, and like how this event really was, it was almost like it was meant to happen, because it's like he brought everyone together, and he kind of did something that in his life he didn't quite do, because he was being like he had been in juvie. And he wasn't living the lifestyle that she was, you know, she thought was appropriate. And, you know, she thought he was doing things like drugs and things like that, which, you know, whether he did or not, I'm sure he did do something right to get placed into juvie and things like that. But it was almost like she was very thankful for the situation and how her son got a hold of her a couple of days before. And it's almost like it just all happened, and people were brought together, and she just felt this amazing sense of peace about it, which was really good. And it made me think about when I've lost people in my life, and particularly my husband, and most recently my late boyfriend of 8 years in February, even though we had been distanced for 4 months when he passed. But we had been together on and off for 8 years. So that was also very, just very unexpected. And I just thought about how I looked at those situations. And I noticed, I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from, that noise. I realized that I dealt with all those things by staying in the present moment, not even realizing that that's what I was doing, but I didn't seem to allow myself to dwell on things and moan over things that you know, you can't do anything about. And so it just made me look back and see those things and realize that perhaps that is why I can be here today and not be consumed by sadness and sorrow and loss. Yes, it is a painful thing, but again, you have to stay in the present moment, because dwelling on either the past or the future doesn't really do anything for you. So that's what it made me think of.
Yeah. And if you think about it in this way, where if a person dies, that is what happened. You know, everyone's like, oh, they shouldn't have died. You know, it's like, okay, all that could be true, but guess what? They're not here anymore in their life. So like what I was thinking about when you said about your friend, she realized, you know, and of course she had a crazy past with her son and all this stuff. And he was into all these negative behaviors that we see in society, right? He was a victim of all that stuff, maybe. But she was able to see that was his life. And he was only here for those short years, and she was able to focus on the good stuff and to know that's what it was meant to be. You know, I mean, that's a cold way to put it, but that's just the way to enunciate it. You know, like, she realizes that was reality. That is what happened. And when people that, you know, die, that was all that, they did. That's all they lived. That's all that was meant, apparently, somehow, right, you know, in this grand scheme of things, for them to be here. And what you can do is, like you said, you have two choices. You can look at yourself like a victim. We always talk about this, and you know, you could drown yourself in sorrow, and you know, you have the right to do that because it is a terrible tragedy. Or you can look at it as, you know, this person was here. They touched my life. They changed the world in so many positive ways. They learned things about themselves. Like a friend of mine who passed away, he got married and had a child right before he passed away. And he was like, not in that direction earlier in his life, you know, so he's like changing things around, was able to create a new life and bring it into this world. So you could say how terrible it is and what was me and tragic and all that. And you could feel bad for his daughter, but she's here, you know, like, she gets a shot. So, and I think that right now we're coming out of this time where we didn't see a lot of death, but maybe going forward, we might, it's a pandemic. Can I even say that word? So, I'm talking about the God Pan, everybody.
How about plan? Just kidding.
Yeah. So, I think that, it's just about, like, we always go talk about what Buddha says, like, suffering begins the minute that you don't accept things for the way they are. And, it sounds really cold, but people really, it's like, even when they're here, they're here physically, but they're not like part of you in you side. You know what I mean? So when they go away, that connection is still there with them. If you have it, you know, like, it's a hard way to describe it, but it's like, I know you can't feel them. You don't have that physical touch with them, but you have that memory of them. Every time you see them, and that character that you built of them in your head is still there.
Right.
So, and their essence is probably somewhere out there. Could it be? Allegedly.
Right. Which would bring us to the next topic. But before that, I would like to say that, yes, when you said that staying in the present moment, and when you see someone in your life who has passed on and they were very dear to you, you know, recognizing that they were here for a reason and that that was their time. And again, everything is perfect. That is what gives a sense of peace, you know, and that is exactly how I felt when my husband Wesley passed away. And I knew in my heart that he was here for a reason, that we were married for a reason, and he was in my life for a reason. But at the same time, I knew that he had also passed for a reason, And it, as much as it hurt, that was what was me staying in the present moment and not allowing the sadness to take over, and the dwelling to take over. So
it's all you get, man. It's all you get. It's like when you're a kid, or when I was a kid and there was dinner and that's all there was, you know, like, sorry, that's all we get. It's like, you could be sad about it, or you could just go, all right, well, it's tomorrow. We're going to eat something different. I don't know. You know, it really is in the point of view, and it's hard for some people. I think it's hard for different, you know, personality types, whatever it is. And I think the key to that really is other people and camaraderie and being around people that are like-minded, and just being open, you know, because you can't just surround yourself with people who are like-minded. But before I go too crazy, yeah, open-minded is good. There you go. I did want to just acknowledge how you're killing it in this episode, Sharon. And I just wanted to say that we don't usually mention this in the show, but we do premiere these usually every Thursday night, and we are in the chat and people are chatting. So I just want to give a shout out to everyone's in the chat right now. Thank you guys for being there. We love you. This is why we do it. And I just want to give a shout out to Sharon because she's awesome. And everybody tell Sharon in the chat how awesome she is. Great share, Sharon. Great overshare.
Yeah, it's total overshare. So you were saying, could it be that, what were you saying, that we would see them again or something like that, or we would.
Their essence lives on somehow, I would imagine.
Yeah. So having said that, reincarnation, do we live multiple lives?
Oh, this is really interesting, because I have a take that is different than most people, but it lines up with it, because everything that I like to look at, now these days, it's like my friends want me to go see a movie, and I think eventually I will, but it's hard for me to sit and see a full movie now, because I kind of view everything allegorically, and I look at it as symbolism, and like there's this other message being told, and sometimes it's just like I gotta like take a break to decompress what was going on. It's like the best way for me to explain it anyway. So but when people are talking about reincarnation and all this stuff, I have this feeling like there's a couple ways it could work. And one of the ways is through, if you have children, your consciousness gets passed on to them in a way. And even if you don't have children, I think that it manifests and it comes up. It's like a recycling type of thing that happens, you know?
I've heard that concept, or, you know, I've heard people mention that.
And if you think about it, it's just aspects of ourselves. So if we talk about before, how we think there was this great trauma that happened, and then now we're just kind of living it out, and we're trying to fix everything, right? It's like a like we were talking about earlier, waves, and we're just trying to wait for them to get back into, you know, like stasis or whatever, right? Which is never really going to happen. You know, everything's always moving, but. So we talk about that, like the pond being still again or whatever after the stone's thrown in. And I think that aspects of this trauma or whatever it is get passed down. And that's actually, we embody that. We are that. Like, so it's kind of like you could kill yourself, or you could, you know, engage in escapism all day till you literally kill yourself with food or alcohol or whatever your choice of, you know, whatever binge. It is.
Yeah. Stuff, whatever it is,
you know, you could do that. But I feel like that unworked out trauma is going to manifest again, and that somehow the consciousness you're attached to is going to have to work that out. And so it just happens in different ways that way, you know, and that, and that's kind of
be that it happens over multiple lifetimes until you fix it, but go ahead.
Or it could just be that this whole situation is repeating again, too, kind of like a Groundhog Day situation. But
okay.
I think that it just as like, you know, as above, so below, it could be happening both ways. There's like a small cycle and a larger cycle on the outside of it, too, you know. So my thing is, like, I just try not to get too wrapped up, because there a lot of that is attachment. So everyone's attached to this life, and they're like, oh, when I die, am I going to come back? Because they're attached to this consciousness. They don't want it to go away because they fear what's next. So that's why I think a lot of this reincarnation stuff is great to talk about, but there's no reason to get too attached to it, because at the end of the day, why are you looking down the rabbit hole of reincarnation? Not you, Sharon, but you know, why are people, what are they worried about? Are you worried about dying? Well, then that's a fear maybe you should think about. And what's, we're all going to die, man. You know, like, I know I don't want to die, but I'm just saying I made peace with the fact that it's going to happen. And it helps you. It's helped me in a situation where I was literally fighting for my life in the ocean against riptides and waves over my head and all this stuff. It was like, I got to a point where I was starting to panic. And I know I've talked about this before. And I said to myself, this could be the end. And I go, well, if it's the end, it's, you know, I basically said to myself, well, it's the end, but I'm, you know, I'm not going to just give up here. I got to just, like, you know, keep my head. And that's what I did. And I'm still here, I guess, unless this is a dream, but I'm still here to give you this message. So I guess there is a reason, right? Maybe, could it be? And the thing is too, about all this stuff, even if there isn't, even if it's all just some cosmic accident, if you view it as this, it just is a better way, in my opinion, to live, really, you know. And then the synchronicities happen. And that's really, I think, the proof behind the pudding. And that's really the only way to see it. There's other ways too. There's like, quote unquote, magic. I think there's like miracles you can manifest to scare people or wake them up or like get their attention. But, you know, I think all that stuff is, maybe that's for the next generation. I feel like they're going to be the magical, real magical ones. The kids that are growing up now, they're going to be like levitating and shit.
Dude.
Allegedly.
I want to talk about my levitation dream, but we can do that another time.
Oh yeah. We'll be talking about dreams. So we either, it's an episode that's upcoming, or you saw it already. So
yeah, we'll figure it out. So, but yeah, speaking of like a sense of peace, that you kind of made peace with, like, you know, you're going to die someday, that type of thing. I think we can have peace when we look at, when we have a way of looking at life and death, in a way that is loving and, and in a way that makes sense, like makes common sense. And I say that because I watched this video.
In a way, really quick, allow me, in a way to, so you're not deluding yourself, in a way where you're in touch with reality and you're not just like living in a fantasy world of, oh, everything's fine. Cause that's not what we're talking about either. You know, I'm hardcore reality, you know, like we're talking about real things. We keep it real. Absolutely. At Oversharing.
We're keeping it real. Y'all know what I'm saying.
We branding on.
Brand is on. Brandon is Brandon on, and Sharon is Sharon on.
Brandon and Sharon, allegedly.
Allegedly. So you need to get a brand and like brand your things.
Though I was thinking of getting a brand that just said on, and then like, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you got that one. I think people would be like, what's your name? It's Brandon. Obviously, look, it's a brand that's on.
That's silly.
Oh, thank you, everybody.
I love it. So back to the lecture at hand. Just kidding. I was watching this video maybe a week or so ago. It was called it was talking about soul contracts and pre-birth planning. It said why you choose your problems in life, something like that. And it was, these were thoughts that I had actually been looking at over the last several months, when it comes to like, do we live again? Do we come back multiple lives to work out our karma and to find our dharma, basically? So after watching this video, I had a renewed sense of peace and even maybe joy about living life, because I came out of that with a like zero sense of victim mentality in this. When you can, okay, so essentially, and I don't remember the details that she talked about, but I remember someone saying, if it was her or someone else, talking about if, like, for example, okay, so she was talking about pre-birth planning, like before we came to this particular life, we spoke to all our loved ones and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And those loved ones agreed that the parts they were going to play in your life, and you agreed to the parts you were going to play in their life. So she gave an example of, let's say there's a mother with a disabled child. That woman could look at her life as a victim, or that child, if he can think, can look at himself as a victim. Why was he born that way? Right. But if we look at it from a lens, and even if this isn't even true, but if we look at it from the lens of, we all planned this before we got here, and we can say that child, that baby, as a soul, said to the mother, the one that was going to be the mother, I will be that child for you. I will be that disabled child so that you can learn how to love, and you can have patience, and you can have compassion, and you can learn all these things in this lifetime. And if you look at it from that lens, you can look at everyone in your life as a person who is either challenging you to look at yourself in a different way, in a light of not being a victim. And you can love everybody without having that, without judging them. You know, if someone in your life is treating you, you know, allegedly terribly, or whatever they're doing that annoys you or offends you or bothers you or something, you can look at that as a learning experience. And like you, what are you, you've talked about this before.
Well, I was going to say what popped into my head was, it's kind of like a video game where, like, there's certain levels. And if you are somebody who's working on yourself and you get to the point where you realize that, hey, there's really no reason to be offended by other people because you shouldn't take things personally, and you're on that, say you're on that path. Well, you can look at these people that still offend and annoy you, like a boss of a level in a video game. It's like, whoa, this person, maybe I'm just not ready yet to get on that level. And then you maybe try to avoid them or whatever. But then when you are ready, that's how you can look at it. In every situation you deal with them, instead of getting upset or annoyed, you're like, oh, what? Okay, so what behavior about them specifically annoys me? And then you look at that behavior like, okay, why is it annoying me? All right. And then you start to look at the root of it, and you go to the root, just like this beautiful tree behind me. And right. You can get to the cause, and you find out a lot of times it's something within yourself that is an aspect of yourself that you aren't okay with, that you don't like, that you hate, that you're projecting onto this person. And it doesn't have to be the same thing. They could be doing it worse than you even do it. And it's just that you're like, ugh. You know, it's kind of like if I'm with somebody and they talk a lot, I'm like, ugh. And then I'm with other people and then they talk a lot, because I'm with other people and then I talk a lot. And then I think about that and I'm like, ugh. So it's the same as above, so below, as within, so without principle.
Yeah. So you can look at those situations as, what does that say about me?
It's like a teaching situation. Like, everybody is a teacher, you know, like, yeah. Ram Dass would put it in a way. He's like, this is how, you know, take it as a teaching. Every person, he's like, every person is my guru, like trying to fool me into getting out of the present moment. That's what he was. He's like, it's a game to always try to stay in the present moment. And then, do I allow these people to fool me and trick me into being out of the present moment or not? And then the way people respond to it when I do it is pretty amazing. I mean, they're, you know, people just flow off the energy, because people at the end of the day, a lot of people in this society are pretty self-centered. You know, I think it's just the way we're raised. And if they could work with somebody or interact with somebody and just have a good time, and, you know, it's not a hassle, they're just kind of going to go with the flow. And then after a while, if you're continually dealing with these people or this person they're going to start to trust you, and they might even start to align their behavior with yours. They're going to be like, this guy gets it. And they might not even realize it. You know, they're just going to start doing it instinctually. It's kind of like when you see a fad on TV, everyone's doing it. It's so cool. We got to get the new Tickle Me Elmo or whatever. Are we going to get kicked off YouTube for saying that? But oh, by the way, anybody, if you're trying to find one of our videos and you can't, just go to a BitChute. If you go to morelawsmoreproblems.com, you can find our BitChute link. All the videos that aren't here will be there. But yeah, it's just like that, you know. So if you can get that positivity train or whatever it is going, you know, that dharmic flow where you're just not creating karma, people will respond. And you know, some people are going to respond negatively, but those are the teachers. You know,
right.
Whether they know it or not, those are the ones.
Yeah. They may not know it because they've forgotten what contracts they made with us before we came.
Yeah.
Could it be allegedly? But yeah, so I see this as bringing a sense of peace to people, because you can't control everything. You can't control how people are, how they're going to respond to you necessarily. And if you remove yourself from that and you look at it in this light of, like you said, they're my teacher. They're just teaching me more about myself. And I love that because it helps me grow and it helps me continue on my dharma and perhaps attain some sort of enlightenment, shall we say?
Yeah, ascension? Exactly. Of rising above it.
Right.
Vibrating to a higher plane. And, you know, right. We can even do a simple little thought experiment where it's like, if you're in despair about this life or whatever, or you're like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to die, or you have a fear of death. Look at, there's some simple facts about life, right? We're all going to die. So do you want to know when you're going to die, or do you don't know when you're going to die? So if you know you're a finite being, you can't change that allegedly yet in this physical, you know, as this person, you get one go around allegedly. That's what we know about. So do you want to know? No, you don't want to know when you're going to die, right? Okay. So then if you don't want to know when you're going to die, then what's the despair about? Like, what's all the, you know, if you look at that, and then we also know we have this limited time. So you know, now you're going to die and you have a limited time. So now it's up to you what you want to do at that time. That's all you really get to choose. You don't get to choose how long or a lot of different things that are going to happen around you, but you get to choose, at least right now, what you want to do at that time. And I think those correct choices resonate with the people around you, just like we were saying. And then that's when these synchronicities start to happen and the magic starts to happen. So I don't know if we can make it any simpler than that. You know, it's like, you know, you're going to die. So just get out there. That's the worst thing that's going to happen to you. And then, so just go. What are you worried about?
Right.
Sharon?
Good thoughts. Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on a lot of things. And unless there's anything else you wanted to touch on, talk about.
To this. Well, we could talk a little bit about the Tao. So we can make this a little bit longer. Okay. So it's about an hour, because that has a lot to do with it. And it has a lot to do with viewing the world as perfect, right? So
exactly. That reminds me, because I did want to bring this up and I forgot. So thanks for the reminder. You had at some point brought up a quote or an excerpt from the book, The Prophet. Do you remember what that was? Because it reminded me of the Tao, where it talks about loving everyone.
I don't remember specifically off the top of my head. I do not.
That's okay.
But
that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I was reading the notes here, and I was trying to remember exactly what it was. But I know that the kind of love that we're talking about when we say love everybody, it's more of a coming from it as a place of compassion, just being compassionate exactly. toward people's situations. Exactly. And, you know, we could talk about simple practical applications of that. And it's like, say you're at the supermarket and you're in a rush and there's all these people in front of you and there's somebody in front of you and it just seems like they're taking forever or whatever. And say you had a long day at work and all this stuff. It's like you could stand in that line and you could watch everything that's going on and wish it was faster and hope and, you know, be like, oh, come on. You know, I hope they open another line. You could sit there and wish for all these things that aren't reality.
Or you're trying to control the situation when you have zero control over it.
Yeah. And what is that at the end of the day when you try to control things? It's just because you have a fear and you're afraid if that most people who try to control things are afraid that if they don't have that control, then, there's several things. A lot of it goes to self-esteem and stuff, but at the end of the day, they just feel that if they're not in control, things are going to go wrong. And they have this terror and dread inside them. Mm. So if you're at the supermarket and you're sitting there, like you said, and you're wishing for things to be the way they weren't or the way they're not, you could take that time to look around in the present moment and see what's going on. Take that time to use it for yourself. Just take it to time to quiet your mind. Maybe do like a meditative thing. Maybe see how long you could stay in the present moment. You just breathe. Little exercises like that. Breathe, do some breathing exercises. Use the time wisely because it's time you're never going to have back, even though you're standing in a line at a supermarket and you think it's annoying. You know, when I was on an aircraft carrier in the Marine Corps for 6 months, I remember the first time I got back to the United States and I had to sit at a red light and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Because I hadn't driven a car in a little bit in Italy, but it was just, you know, these little things that we thought were so annoying. I was like, wow, I get to do this. So if you can hold that point of view, no matter what happens, it can always be worse, right? Allegedly.
Yeah. Enjoy the moment, the present moment for what it is.
Yeah. So, one thing I wanted to ask you in the beginning was you said that in the past year, you've changed a lot of your behaviors and you've gone a lot in a positive, more direction, I guess you could say. Is there anything you want to kind of talk about or highlight or any practices you'd like to talk about? Overshare about that have helped you?
So,
or any behaviors you've cleaned up that you want to overshare about?
Let me just briefly talk about, maybe it'll come up as I talk about it. So a year ago or so, I was on this path of, I was still Christian. I still thought of, I still was looking at scripture and trying to make sense of verses and what they meant and things like that. And I had dabbled a little bit in the Torah observant community where they were in Hebrew roots and talking about, you know, Yahweh, and that's his name, but it's not pronounced Yahweh, it's Yahuwah. And things were just going into micro details of just nuances of, which was starting to get really annoying to me because I'm a big picture person. And when you start telling me it's like this way, no, it's not this way, it's this way, it's like, does it matter? I mean, I think God knows his freaking name, if that's his name. Like if you pronounce it Yahuwah or someone pronounces it Yahweh, I don't think he cares. Like he's not freaking petty. Like, I don't think God's petty. Okay. So it just started to get annoying. And I began to see the hypocrisy of just religion in general. So I was beginning to kind of step away from religion. And at some point I saw Mark Passio's Natural Law series, which made so much sense to me that I realized, yeah, all these religions are pretty much invented and spread around the world so that they can divide people and cause people to fight over stupid little things, even within one sect, even within like Hebrew roots and things like that, you get, no, it's Yahuwah. No, it's Yahweh. No, it's this. No, it's that. It's just like, why are you bickering over stupidities? Right. So I went from like seeing all that, because I was actually observing it. I wasn't trying to participate much in like, whether it was pronounced one way or another. Maybe I did at some point, but I wanted to understand and comprehend. So I was doing all the studying and researching, but it was just starting to become overwhelming and annoying and taking me away from studying what would actually be more helpful, which is looking within, right? So I went through that whole kind of stage. And at some point this past year, I came across your videos. One of the videos I came across, it was through Bertaria Times. And it was through, it was a video about, it was with Pasquale Bear, I think, or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. I think that was the one. It was the unnamed show or something like that. The no name show. But I was like, oh, he's talking about, cause it reminded me of like Mark Passio stuff and like, sovereignty, which is also something that I had been looking into. So I was like, oh, he's totally talking about my type of stuff. Let me check this out. So I checked that video out. It was really cool. And then I was looking through the rest of your channel and you were talking about tarot and, the Tarotable podcast. And, I'm trying to remember what else. I commented on your channel and then you wrote back and then we connected on Bertaria and then we just became friends. We started talking. I started asking you questions about the tarot. We did a tarot episode where I asked you questions. And I mean, basically that's how I've been learning about all this stuff. But not just you, because my friends were also kind of going in that direction. And you've met Daisy over the phone, you've met Adam. So they too were also kind of going in this direction. Daisy had looked into Michael Tessarion stuff. And so she was talking about him and you were talking about him. And so I was making all these connections and learning about a lot of things that I didn't know about. And I watched Mark Passio's Demystifying the Occult or something like that series, which was really good. And he also talked about the tarot in that one at the very end. So it, and Crow had been talking about the tarot over time. So all these things, I was just beginning to come to these things and opening my mind to different possibilities. And to me, it just kept going back to nature. Just like Crow says, there's no lie in nature. So I became, I started to look at life in that, with that lens of like, okay, well, how does that look in nature? How do animals behave? How do animals do this? How did our ancient ancestors do these things? And that's how I began to look at things. And that was my lens. And that has become my lens. It's basically, there's no lie in nature. So I don't know if that answered your question, but
no,
that's where I've come from pretty much.
There is no lie in nature, and the world, I feel, is just an inversion of nature. When I say the world, I mean like the human created world of cities and everything. It's just a inversion. It's a way for man to try to control things, to control the environment, to control circumstances, stuff like that. So if you could see it that way, then you don't have to hate it. It's not evil. It's just because people were scared. Bad things happened. So they said, hey, if we get together and build these cities, we'll be safer. You know, we'll have life easier. We don't have to, you know, we want our kids to think about it. We just want our kids to grow up in an easier time than we did. That's what everybody says, right?
Right.
So it's like the path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Exactly. Totally. It totally is.
All right. I think that'd be a good place to end it right there.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Well, a bit of a shorter episode, everybody, but hey, that's what you get on oversharing. Sometimes we way overshare. Sometimes we overshare and it's really good, but it's not so, you know, it's like a really good firework that fizzles out. We overshared really well in this episode, but then it's just like, anyway, thank you so much for everyone who's watching now in the chat and chatting along. Again, I'd like to thank you guys because, again, this is why we do it. So much fun. And is there anything else you wanted to say, Sharon, before we wrap up this episode?
Only that if you're not over Sharon.
Yeah, not Karen.
That's right.
That's right. So brand on.
And share on.
That's right.